Hey everybody, it's Whitney here.
Hey, it's Macy here.
With Macy McLean and Whitney Coonan.
You'll figure out how to swim eventually.
At the end of our life, what do we want to be our story?
We're sharing success and sparking power.
You're listening to
Power in Heels.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for joining us, Rebecca. We're so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you guys. Your podcast is amazing, and I love what you guys do. You guys are so awesome and talented.
Oh, thank you. You are amazing. You've inspired us so much. You have this million-dollar bakery. You've done so many amazing things. You know, have a bunch of locations, and you've written your own book. And you are super successful and super inspiring to us. But we want to start all the way back to the beginning because we find the best way to kind of tell your story is to start there, because your story is a big story about growth and learning. So let's start at the beginning. Can you tell us briefly about your young adult life and what happened during that time that maybe you think made you into who you are today?
Absolutely. Yeah. So basically my childhood growing up was pretty rough. It was like always a challenge. I never felt safe in my home or anything like that. My dad had severe anger issues, which, you know, as a delicate child really dampens your spirit and stuff like that. And then my mom, she was really passive and she put up with it and stuff like that. So kind of growing up in that dynamic was really, really challenging for me. And so as I evolved from a child into a teenager, all of a sudden I had my own opinions that were very strong opinions. I started like talking back and standing up for my mom and, you know, telling my dad what I thought about his issues and stuff like that, which obviously did not go over well in their home. I ended up getting kicked out all of the time for sharing my thoughts and opinions, which even looking back now, I still feel right about them. So, and you don't always feel that way. Sometimes you're like, you know, I was really wrong to do that. But no, I felt like I was still, you know, I was just trying to do the right thing. I kept getting kicked out of my house. And then eventually I was like, you know, this is like rough getting kicked out of my house all the time. I have to keep packing up my stuff and keep finding places to stay. And I ended up just leaving my home. I ended up moving out at 16 years old. And, you know, looking back now, I'm like, that was really young. I look at 16-year-olds now and I'm like, I don't know how I did that and how I got through. It was a very challenging, very dark time in my life. So I decided that moving out was a better option for me than staying at my family home. That led to me spending full days and nights on the streets. I was homeless for a period of time, which was very scary. Being like sleeping on park benches and in little cubby areas by schools and stuff like that. And it didn't matter if it was raining, it was cold. Like, I have vivid like memories of me spending full days and nights on the streets. Or sometimes I would stay in 24-hour coffee shops just to get some shelter. And, you know, I didn't even have money to buy a coffee from those places. I was just kind of hanging out there as a safe place. Eventually, my boyfriend at the time and I decided to get an apartment together. So we got a basement apartment together, which was much better than the places that we were staying at. We ended up staying at some really sketchy motels too, with some really sketchy people around. And it was not a good time for me. It was a very, very rough time. I also ended up dropping out of high school because I couldn't go to school. It was very stressful for me. I didn't know what to tell people. I didn't know what to tell the teachers. Like, I was living on my own and it was just a really weird situation. And also I had to get a job now because I had rent to pay and groceries to buy and stuff like that. So that is what happened. That's my past. And looking back on it, it was really, really a hard time for me. But I also can turn it into a positive now because it's what taught me my confidence and my resilience and my tenacity to get through really challenging times.
Absolutely. I mean, something like that definitely forces you to grow up really fast, if you could say that.
Totally, yeah.
If there's something that you could pick out during that time in your life, was there a moment or a specific action that you took that you, now looking back on, can see maybe that really helped you or led to you getting out of those tough times?
Yeah, I think it's a classic example of hitting rock bottom and either deciding to continue living at all. I did have a lot of thoughts of ending my own life and suicide and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think that hitting that rock bottom for me, it really scared me that I actually felt comfort in the fact that I could just end my life and it'd be over with. And it was that decision, that moment where I was like, you know what, I'm just going to really try to change my life completely. And I remember at 18 years old, around 18 years old, I picked up the book, The Secret, which was not a popular book for my age group at the time. And, you know, nobody else around me was reading like self-help books and stuff like that. But that was the first self-help book that I actually picked up and read. And I watched, they had a movie that came out about it, and I watched that, and I was just so fascinated by it. And I was like, is this actually real? Like, I thought it was a joke, and I thought it was like, you know, it sounds really like hoaxy and weird. But honestly, it opened my eyes to a new perspective and a new way of potentially living and changing my life. So honestly, that was a pivotal moment for me to go from really, really dark, challenging times to seeing the light and seeing that, you know, there may be a different way. And I also felt like, what did I have to lose? I either die or I go forward. So I really had nothing else to lose at the time, that making the choice that, you know, maybe there is more to life. And if there's not, then there's not. But I was willing to give it a try at that point. So, and I'm really, really, really glad that I did, because not everybody makes that choice, unfortunately.
I feel like in my personal life, I've come across a lot of people who either just didn't get their diploma or dropped out of high school early. And I feel like, not all of them, of course, but some of them feel almost stuck in a sense. You talked about it briefly as well in your personal life, but about how changing your narrative and not letting this societal stereotype that if you don't have any formal education, you can't be successful. I don't know if you have any other ways or things that you use to push pass this and just try, or if you even have any advice for people that may be in that scenario right now.
Yeah. You know, when I was going through that hard time, I didn't know what the options were. I kept getting asked like, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, what college are you going to go to? And I just felt like I did really feel like I needed to have a career that society thought was going to be acceptable. And that was my mentality back then. But now, at the point of life that I'm in now, I've learned that it doesn't matter what you go to school for, and it doesn't matter what your education is or anything of your background does not matter. What matters is that you get the mentality right, you get your mind right, and there's so many free resources now more than ever. Like, I learned everything that I know now from reading books, listening to podcasts like yours, and learning from other people's, you know, hard times and mistakes, and learning from YouTube videos. There's just so much information available to us that there's really no excuse for sitting in that victim mentality, right? So I would say you need to change your mentality to a growth mindset and know that you are capable of learning the things. School is just a tool that, yes, it offers a lot of value. You know, you're going to learn from it for sure, but you can also learn online. You can also learn from books. So there's just different ways to do that. And, you know, depending on what kind of career route you want to pick, then that's what you should use to decide. Like, if you want to be a doctor, then yes, you have to go to school for sure. Knowing that there's options out there and that there's not just one option, even though society wants us to only believe that there's one option, there is many options.
Absolutely. No, that's a great way to say that. And I mean, it really shows, especially today, there's so much information out there. What we consider a traditional education is just as valuable as an education that you seek out yourself, right? Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't make a difference today, because it really comes down to the person. Like, I've met so many students that have gone off to pursue post-secondary education. They've gone and they've pursued something that they, you know, for example, they've picked science, not dissing science students, but yeah, they pick science because that's what they think is acceptable and that'll make their parents happy. And then they get 1 year in and they realize they hate it. So it really, it doesn't, in the end, it doesn't matter. It just, as long as you're doing what makes you happy, I can see that that is really important. And I mean, your story too, it just shows like it's up to you to make it happen. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
I know in the past you've mentioned the idea of like, there's this whole idea of manifesting things into reality, and you've mentioned your critique of it as well. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I love the whole manifesting and the universe and everything like that. I am totally into it, and I do appreciate it because, like I was saying before, like that was the first book that basically saved my life at that young age. But I didn't understand it in the way that I understand it now, as an adult and as I've gone through things and stuff like that. So I really do believe that, you know, you can manifest things, but it has to come with the biggest, most audacious amount of action, because without the action, there's no manifesting. It's just not going to happen. It's not, you don't sit back, manifest it. Like, it's just not, it doesn't work that way. And, you know, I feel like in a lot of these self-help books, that's what they suggest, that you just sit back, you write it on your vision board and you think about it every day and you try to manifest it. That is really frustrating for me because I have manifested things in my life that I have put on my vision board, and it's really, really cool to see them come to life. But I know that it did not come just by sitting back and thinking about it every day. It came with, okay, what steps do I need to take in order to manifest this into my life, in order to actually create this into a reality? I think a lot of the things that those books are missing, and even The Secret specifically, that book, although it did help me a lot, it didn't have the piece of, that's the most important piece of taking the action and stepping out of your comfort zone and making things happen. That's the part that's really missing in a lot of those books, I find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. And I feel like a manifesting is a very big thing right now. And people, I guess, lack the importance of course, having that mindset is very important, but then having the action, you can't just think it. It's not just going to happen. You actually have to put in the effort and the action, as you said, to make it happen.
Yes, exactly. And one thing I want to point out about those books too, is that I think that that is a major, like, it's just a selling feature to like sell to people and be like, hey, buy this book, read it, feel good about it, and just manifest everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like, I think because everybody is searching, it's like diet pills, right? Like, they don't work. You have to exercise and eat healthy. Exactly. Everybody is looking for the short term like solution to things. And that's what manifesting is. Like, that's, it's literally like a diet pill without the actual action of things that are going to make a difference in your life. And that's what appeals to majority of the population, because everybody just wants a quick fix to improve their life and, you know, have an unlimited income and have happiness and fulfillment and stuff like that. And it just doesn't work.
Very true.
Yeah.
Coming up next on Power in Heels.
I don't think that there's anything that you can say to a 16-year-old, like as an adult person, that they would actually take seriously.
Has baking always been a passion of yours, or was it something that you kind of gained or learned about later in life?
Yeah, so baking was always part of my life, like growing up and stuff like that. It was always a passion of mine. I grew up baking with my Oma. She was my favorite person in the entire world. So we would bake all the time. She lived in a tiny little trailer growing up, but they loved it. They loved nature and stuff like that. So we would always bake in her really tiny little trailer kitchen, and we would make cheesecakes and cookies and stuff like that. And so I grew up, I loved it so much. More than baking, I loved eating the baked goods. So that was like the highlight of the baking, was actually eating it. I had a really big sweet tooth growing up. But it wasn't until I found Cake Boss and I saw what he was able to do with the cakes. And because obviously as a child, we would just make really simple things like plain recipes. There was no like decorating of it or anything like that. And so when I saw that, you know, it kind of was like a big thing in the baking industry that, you know, I didn't even think was possible. And so I saw Cake Boss doing all these really cool things with cakes. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. I wonder if I can do that too, because I've always been very creative and artistic. And so I was like, wow, I was very intrigued by that. I learned how to do it, how to decorate cakes, cover them in fondant, how to create 3D cakes and stuff like that, just simply from watching his shows and watching YouTube tutorial videos and stuff like that. I have no formal education in anything. And I fell in love with the decorating part of it more than the baking part of it, because I love being creative, and it's my gift from God. And so I feel like if you're pursuing your gift, it's what really makes for a happy, fulfilling life.
That's awesome. And I mean, you know, from baking with your Oma to watching Cake Boss, I mean, first of all, I love Cake Boss. Yeah. I used to when I was young. Yes. I would binge that show. My sisters and I, we would all sit down and watch it. And
yeah.
Oh my gosh, amazing. And I was, every single time he would step it up and do something more amazing. I know. So I can definitely see how that drew you in, because I even love that show.
Yeah.
But anyway, not fangirling over Cake Boss. I want to talk about the decision to open up your first store and jump into it. Because of course you started your business out of your home, but then eventually you kind of outgrew it and you had to open your first store. So can you tell me about that and some of the challenges that came along with that?
Yeah, for sure. So I was doing baking out of my home for like probably 3 years before I actually opened my first store location, primarily because I didn't take it seriously. I did not think that, you know, baking or owning a bakery would be a viable career choice. It just didn't sound like, you know, and I had a lot of people would be like, oh, bakeries don't make money. You can't be successful like with a bakery. Nobody thinks highly of you if you own a bakery. Like, it's just a bakery. You know what I mean? So I had this like perception of what owning a bakery would be like. I was really set on becoming a police officer, which is very ironic because there's no creativity in being a police officer and you definitely can't have blue hair and whatever. So it definitely wasn't for me, but I was doing a lot of like the physical tests and stuff like that and trying really hard to do that. And I hated it. I was so miserable. And while I was trying to pursue that career option, I was also baking. So I was decorating and making cakes for friends, and eventually their friends of friends would ask me. And so it was all word of mouth in the beginning. And I loved it. The time would pass, like endless hours in the kitchen would pass. You know, my husband at the time would be like, are you going to come to bed? Or are you going to just keep decorating cakes all night? And be like, I'm just going to decorate cakes all night. I just loved it so much. I just didn't think that, you know, I didn't think it was possible to have a career that you actually loved so much, because you see all these people in careers and they're miserable and they hate their life and they're like, you know, I just can't wait till my vacation time and stuff like that. So I didn't even think that turning a hobby that you love so much into a business was even like a possibility to be successful. I did that for 3 years out of my home, just not taking it too seriously, but loving it. And then I came to a point where I realized that, you know, I love doing this so much and I could either take this more seriously and try to make it into a viable business, or I'm going to give it up and just focus on becoming a police officer, because I was at the point where I was getting a lot busier with orders, cake orders and stuff like that. And I was doing two different things, kind of halfsies, you know what I mean? So, and I wanted to be really good at one thing. So it was a pivotal moment where I was like, hey, I'm not going to do both of these things kind of halfsies and whatever and get like mediocre results. So I decided I wanted to go full in on the cake decorating and baking. And if I changed my mind, you can always change your mind. That's what I think most people miss the memo on, is that you can always go back to a normal career route if you want to, but I guarantee you, you will not want to once you pursue your passion. So I decided to open my first store location. It was in the town that we lived in at the time, which was St. Thomas. It was a very big decision. It was very hard decision to make, because I still had those feelings of this is not serious, like it's not going to be that successful. And I had a lot of doubt in my mind, but I just felt like take the risk and try it out and see. You'll never know if you don't try. But now all of a sudden I had rent to pay, I had bills to pay. And you know, that was very, very scary. I don't know. I also did not know how to start a business, how to run a business. I had no education, like I mentioned. So it was a very, very challenging time and such a big learning curve.
Is there something that really surprised you with that whole process? Something that you were not expecting and that you kind of had to figure out suddenly?
I would say it was almost easier than I thought, in a sense that you just have to really break it down into small steps, because there is a lot of steps to take when opening a business. There's a lot of things to account for and stuff like that. But when you break it down, it's not as impossible as you make it out to be, because I made it out to be like, I don't know, do you need a license to open a store? Like, I had no idea. Like, could I open a store? Like, obviously I could just open a store, but I didn't think that just anybody could do that. But with the right research and, you know, just breaking things down, it is possible. And that's really how I've broken down a lot of my big goals, is by like those little baby steps. But one of the challenging things that really came along with opening a store was that you have set hours you have to be there, which I was not used to. I really didn't like the idea of having to open the store at a certain time, close it at a certain time. And it is a really big commitment. Getting used to that was like really challenging. But at the same time, because I loved it so much, it didn't really bother me as much as I actually thought that it was going to. So, you know, there's a lot of like little things like that that come along with opening a store location, that all of a sudden now you're really responsible for paying rent and bills and stuff like that, which is really scary. But if you are so passionate about it, that will override all of the other things.
That is very true. I feel like being happy and loving what you do is very important, because if you don't, then you just end up forcing yourself to go to work, which is not fun at all.
No, totally.
Now, unfortunately, having your own business does come with its fair share of haters and even people that are going to doubt your abilities. How were you able to overcome these challenges?
Great question. And this is one that everybody always is so curious about, because everybody struggles with this so much. Okay, whether you have a business or not, dealing with haters is the equivalent of dealing with bullies in elementary school. It's the exact same thing. They have the same issues. They're just as mean. And that's something that I really struggled with, and especially in the beginning. I mean, you don't really get over it, I wouldn't say. Like, it still hurts my feelings today when haters come out of the woodwork and just hate for no reason. But I've learned to deal with it in such a better way now, because I understand where they're coming from. They're coming from a place of insecurity. You know, they don't like their life. And so when they see other people enjoying their lives or living their best life and being successful, it makes them feel like crap about their life. So I totally understand that. So what I had to learn was I had to differentiate between haters and complainers. Haters are just trolls on the internet that just hate you for no reason. They hate you for being you. They hate you for being successful. They hate you for having colorful hair. They just hate everything about you. And they have no real reason to do that. They've never tried your product. They never would, because why would they? They hate you. So I just block and delete those people, because they just offer no value to my life at all. Okay. But complaining customers, they actually offer valuable feedback. And I would say they offer the most valuable feedback, more so than happy customers, because happy customers are just happy. They're just, they love your product. That's great. But there's nothing you can take from that to improve upon, right? With complaining customers, these are people who have tried your product. They've actually paid money. They've purchased it and they didn't like it for whatever reason. It's really important to know that, yes, not everybody's going to love your product, but try and see if there is a common trend with the complaints, right? Because if there is, then that is an opportunity for you to improve your business and grow your business, right? In the beginning of our business, we were getting a lot of complaints about our vanilla cake recipe. And myself, as a person, I'm a chocolate lover. So I just thought vanilla cake is supposed to taste plain. It's supposed to taste like vanilla. So I was getting these complaints from people because they were like, oh, your vanilla cake is just, it's not like great. It's kind of dry. It doesn't have any flavor and whatever, right? So we were getting that complaint. I didn't have a taste for vanilla cake. So obviously if I eat vanilla cake, I'm like, meh, it's okay. It's vanilla. I prefer chocolate. So this was a valuable thing that customers were providing feedback back on. And ultimately, it led for us to get a new vanilla cake recipe, get other people to test it, get the people who didn't like our previous one to try it, and let me know your honest feedback. If we didn't get that feedback and take it seriously, then we wouldn't have improved on our vanilla cake recipe. And now we have a great vanilla cake recipe and people love it.
No, that's a fantastic point. And you're completely right. Treating negative reviews, if you're a business owner, or even if you're just an employee in a company and you get a negative comment from somebody regarding your work, treating it more like an opportunity
yes.
is going to benefit you 10 times more in the long run.
100%.
So that's a fantastic point right there.
Hey, it's Macy here. I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. Make sure to subscribe to join the conversation and never miss out on another piece of practical career advice.
Now, I do want to talk about, because we just talked about opening your first location, but you are way beyond that now. You have multiple locations, lots of employees. Can we talk about that process?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have 3 store locations right now, and we have about 20 employees that work at various locations. So it's amazing. And we're in the process of developing our 4th store location, which we don't know what the location is because we're open to it. We're just looking at different units right now. The process of starting a business is the same as growing the business, where it's like you never know at any point what you're doing. Okay. The only point in time that you know what you're doing is if you've already done it before. So I know a lot of people get stuck on the mentality and the fact that like they don't have the confidence. They're like, I don't know how to open a store. Well, guess what? Neither did I. And then I opened a store. And you know what? Now if I opened a different store, I would know exactly what I was doing. Okay. Scaling and growing a business is the same in the sense where like I still don't know what I'm doing because I have never grown or scaled a business before. So, I mean, in essence, it would be weird if I knew what I was doing because how can you know if you've never done it before? So I've learned definitely techniques in asking for help, learning from other businesses who have scaled and grown much bigger than I have. The mentality part of it has grown and expanded. So I know where to go for help and kind of what to do in that sense. But like, I don't know, I have 3 stores now. So what if I had double and I had 6 stores? That would be a whole new circus of events. You know what I mean? So growing and scaling a business is very different and it comes with significant challenges. And I always think too, like as your business grows and expands and stuff like that, like it's just more responsibility. So it's like higher stakes, right? So that part freaks me out from time to time because I'm like, it's not just about me anymore. It's about my 20 employees having work to do. It's about paying our rent at all of these store locations and, making sure that our customers are happy. So it's on a larger scale. Sometimes I feel the pressure of that because I am essentially in charge of the whole thing. My husband helps run it. Of course, I could never do it on my own, but it does have that sense of pressure where, okay, well now all of these people are relying on you for work and for different things, right? So as I go, it's about taking care of myself, making sure I'm in a good mindset, making sure I'm healthy and able to have the energy to deal with a much higher things at stake now. Honestly, it's a constant learning curve and a constant challenge, but I have the growth mindset. I'm always learning. I'm always reading the books and educating myself. That really helps and it does make it easier, but it's always, always a new challenge. You may be good at one thing. Like for me, I was really good at being creative and creating the products and stuff like that. I'm an introverted person, so I like doing the social media and I like doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, but I'm not like a people-y person. Like my husband is the opposite. He's a people-y person. He is the extrovert. So he does all of the management and he does the customer service side of things. Your business needs both sides of things. And so bringing in somebody to help you grow and scale your business that has the opposite skill set as you is really, really important.
I think that's a great lesson there. People always think like, or they look at people who are successful and that they look up to and they think, oh, they know how to do it all. They're the experts. And it makes people feel kind of like, oh, like I can never do that because I don't know as much as them. But I guarantee everybody who's now at the top, they started exactly where maybe Macy and I are starting at the bottom where students were learning. Mm-hmm. And we don't know everything, but neither did they either. So especially from your story, you're straight up saying, I didn't know how to do everything. And that is okay, because either exactly. you learn or you bring on people to help you, but like you will figure it out. And I think that's a really fantastic lesson.
Yeah, thank you. I think that that is like the main reason that I'm so passionate about sharing my story, because I remember what it felt like when I was 16 and I felt so hopeless and I was like, I had no direction in life. I'm so passionate about sharing my story now because I went through it and I was able to achieve success and happiness. And I really didn't believe that I could at that age. So if I can just inspire a couple of people to believe in themselves and to just go for it and put in the work and educate yourself and take responsibility for your own life, like I am just super passionate about that.
If you could go back to that 16-year-old you, what are some things that you would want to tell her?
That's a great question. I'm laughing because I think back to that time and I'm like, I don't think that there's anything that you can say to a 16-year-old, like as an adult person, that they would actually take seriously. There's lots of things that I would like tell myself. I would say, you know, like you can get help. There's people that'll help you. Now, my 16-year-old self would be like, I know everything, screw you. And like, you know, they wouldn't probably take it seriously. But that's really the ultimate thing that I would tell myself at that age, was to just, you know, life is not always going to feel this challenging and this hard, and you can work through hard things. And there's so many books and resources out there to help you through those hard times. And I think it's really important for people to, especially young people, to know that there's so many people out there that want to help you and want to provide you with resources and stuff like that. And you don't have to feel so alone.
I know you said this before, but you know, believing in yourself is really that first step, and mm-hmm. the rest will eventually come and fall in line. And you've talked before about, you know, finding yourself, but more than that, creating yourself. Can you talk a little bit about what that means to you?
Yeah. So I always see a lot of these posts on social media and stuff like that of like, oh, I'm trying to find myself, or I need to go and do this and try and find myself. And I see a lot of these posts and stuff. And to me, that just sounds like you may or may not find yourself. It's not a concrete thing. It's just a passive thing to say. And I thought that creating yourself was more of an intentional action-based thing that you can actually do to get you more tangible results. By creating yourself, you're really putting yourself in the driver's seat. And you're like, I am going to create this life that I love. Yeah, I didn't even think about that until it was actually when I started writing my book, which was I started writing it about a year ago. And I was like, I kept seeing those posts. I'm like, I don't think it's about finding yourself. I think it's about actually creating yourself, because ultimately that's what I did, was I took responsibility and I actually created the life that I wanted. And that's how I was able to achieve what I've achieved. And so that was basically the whole premise of my book. But yeah, that wasn't, I didn't grow up thinking that. And it wasn't until like I just learned that a year ago, and I'm 33 years old. So it's not something that's like just common knowledge. But
yeah, no, you say that and you're like, oh, but you know, there's so many people who change careers or they find their true passion later in life. And I feel like everybody's in such a rush to figure it out, but we don't have to be, because, you know, eventually you will create yourself.
Now, unfortunately, the interview is coming to an end, but before we completely wrap up, we'd like to kind of pass the virtual mic over to you and just give you this time to share any last words that you want to leave our listeners with. The time is yours.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I think that we covered a lot of the really main focus points. If you are stuck in a 9-to-5 job that is soul sucking and you hate it so much, now is your time, if you're listening to this podcast, to start today and take a step forward. I am not saying to just quit your job and like go on this like binge thing or whatever. I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that while you have your safe career and you have your safety net there, start pursuing something on the side. That's how I started. Just start with something small, something that you love to do. And one thing that I've learned that has really guided me through my own personal journey is that it is 80% psychology and 20% strategy. So that means that what you go to school for or what you learn as your actual skill is only 20% of the game. Okay. You can go to college for 5 years, but if you don't have the mentality it doesn't matter how long you went to school for or what you went to school for. It matters that you are working on yourself and you're doing self-development in order for you to become a better, stronger person, because that's 80% of the game and that's what really matters the most.
Oh man. Today's conversation was so great. I have personally learned a lot, and Macy, I'm sure you have as well. Yes. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. And to our listeners, if you're ever in the London, Ontario area, please go check out her bakery. It's called Chick Boss Cake. And of course, you can check her out online. She has Instagram. She has her own podcast. Of course, check out her book and her website as well. It'll be all linked in our blog. So anyway, thank you, Rebecca, so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It has been so fun chatting, and I wish you guys the most success with your podcast.
That's all for today's episode. Thank you so much for being a part of our audience and our network. Don't forget to hit subscribe. And of course, if you have any ideas for our show, you can chat directly with us through our website.
Power in Heels.